From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
During the first half of the show today, we'll be speaking with Paul Spittler, the Wilderness Society's Director of Wilderness Campaigns, about their latest report, Too Wild to Drill. Each year, the Wilderness Society puts out a report highlighting some of America's most spectacular landscapes that are still under threat from oil and gas development. This year, two locations in Utah made the list, and Paul will tell us what's happening on the ground in those places.
Right, and as more and more of us experience and re-experience the great outdoors, there is one element common to most of our encounters, and that's dirt. From gardening to camping to dirt biking, we integrate, enjoy, and rely upon dirt for our recreation and survival.
In the new book, Dirt, A Love Story, 36 voices write about the magic and timeless allure of dirt. The book is edited by Barbara Richardson, an award-winning author who also happens to live in Camas. She joins us in the second half of the show to discuss the book and an open house she's helping to host at Arctique in Camas.
All that and some news on a study that suggests that up to 9 out of 10 of the world's seabirds likely have pieces of plastic in their guts. Any from your trash now?
None.
No, you can't trace that? You can't trace me. You can't trace. But that's an astounding number. We'll give you the details on that.
That's right. You can join in on the conversation today by posting to our Facebook page, KPCW This Green Earth, or emailing us at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org. Our connections with and impacts upon the environment. That's what This Green Earth is all about. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Matt from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of contemporary and mountain modern home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake and offer complete design services. We are on the web at sanfrandesign.com. San Francisco Design, love your home.
This is Robin Marouche, Director of the Kimball Arts Center, on behalf of Vail Resorts Epic Promise, proudly supporting KPCW. With a grant from Epic Promise, the Kimball Arts Center has provided over 7,500 students and almost 30 schools with free visual arts education. Thank you, Epic Promise, for giving our students an opportunity to learn about the arts and create their own masterpieces.
This is Tom Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. We are committed to serving Park City and are proud supporters of KPCW. More information at bhhsutah.com or one of our 24 offices throughout Summit and Wasatch counties.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. And our first guest is on the line.
That's right. We'll be speaking with Paul Spittler, the Wilderness Society's Director of Wilderness Campaigns, about their latest report, Too Wild to Drill. Paul, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So start by telling us a little bit about this report. It's something that your organization puts out annually.
Yeah, we've put this report out for the last 2 years, and we're very focused on the management of America's public lands. And as your listeners likely know, these are lands that are owned and managed by all the American people. And the lands are supposed to be managed to provide an array of benefits and uses, including recreation and other activities that many Utahns enjoy. But many of these lands are open to oil and gas development or other types of development that really destroy their natural character. So what we did with this report was to identify 6 places that we call too wild to drill. And these are some of the places that we think have outstanding scenic or recreational or other values that really make them inappropriate for oil and gas development.
I think it's always a little bit shocking when you discover that some of the places that you enjoy going and camping or recreating are actually open to these other heavier industrial uses, not just recreation. I think it's often something we're not aware of.
Yeah, I think a lot of people aren't aware that these activities take place on public land. Many people think public lands are the same as national parks, where, you know, they are really managed for people to go and enjoy for recreation and wildlife and scenery. But many of the public lands, are, in fact, the vast majority, are not managed for those purposes. They are open to oil and gas development, mining, other activities that really change the character of those lands. And one of the reasons that we did this report was that we had found that after reviewing the land management plans of the Bureau of Land Management, which manages several hundred million acres of America's public lands, we found over 90% of those lands were available for polluting energy sources like drilling for oil and natural gas and mining coal. So, you know, this report really is kind of a clarion call to the public to say, look, these lands that you value and that you use and that you enjoy, they're not safe and they're not secured and they won't always be there for you unless we all take action to make sure that they're preserved forever.
So just to highlight this number, you said 90% of these public lands are open to energy development?
90% of the lands managed by the Bureau of Land Management across the country, and that Bureau of Land Management manages over 245 million acres of public land, and 90% of those are open to polluting energy sources like oil and natural gas and coal.
So what lands are we talking about in Utah?
Well, we highlighted two places in Utah that are at risk. One is the greater Desolation Canyon region, and that's a landscape that many Utahns know. Scenic Green River flows right through the Desolation Canyon, huge cliffs and bluffs and overlooks and very popular scenic area. And back in 2012, the Bureau of Land Management approved a drilling plan that would affect this region. Over 1,300 wells would be put in, and we're calling on the BLM to revise that approval by limiting development in some of the most sensitive parts of the Desolation Canyon region. The other place that we highlighted was down in the southeast corner of the state, in the Bears Ears region. This is a place that is one of the most spectacular and remote parts of the whole state, and I would say of the whole country. Has incredible archaeological resources, literally thousands of archaeological features, petroglyphs, cliff dwellings, and other archaeological resources, as well as scenic treasures like Canyon Lands National Park and other landscapes that you know represent really the most iconic scenic Utah red rock landscapes. And there have been numerous efforts to develop within this region. There are numerous efforts to develop new uranium mines. There's other efforts to develop oil and gas resources. There was a huge battle several years back to prevent oil and gas drilling within the broader Canyonland Basin just outside the national park itself. So these are two of the places, the Desolation Canyon region and the Bears Ears, two of the places that we've identified as raising the flag to say, look, these places are literally too wild to drill. They're too spectacular and too important for their other values to sacrifice short-term energy development.
So your point about other values kind of gets at the actual economic value of recreation as well. Have you quantified the impact of these places in that way?
Well, it's hard to quantify an individual place, but we know that across the country, recreation is over a $600 billion economy. And in Utah, recreation is a huge part of the state economy. Over $12 billion in economic activity and 122,000 jobs statewide are due to recreation. And, you know, when people across America think of Utah, they don't think of, wow, that's a good place to get some coal or do some uranium mining. They think of the beautiful red rock country. They think of arches and canyonlands and the scenic lands that make Utah an iconic landscape, not just in America, but around the world.
Right. We've seen overcrowding and essentially like wait lines to get into our national parks here in Utah the past couple of years. So I think that speaks to the...
We need more parks.
That's right.
We need bigger parks to accommodate the crowds.
Absolutely. I've done a lot of travels in southern Utah, and it's amazing to me to go into a restaurant in Monticello and be one of the only English speakers in the entire restaurant. I mean, people come from around the world to explore southern Utah, and the Utah economy is based in large part on that type of visitation. And Utah's iconic image is based on making sure that those lands are secure so that people can enjoy them for all time.
So digging in a little more detail to the Bear's Ears, this is something that, more so than the other locations, I've heard a lot of buzz about this, and it seems like there are other organizations working on it as well. Are you partnering with other groups on this effort?
Well, it's been a coalition of Native American tribes, including the Navajo, the Hopi, the Ute, and the Hualapai, the Zuni, and others who have been advocating for permanent protection for the Bear's Ears region. And we support the tribe's effort, and we would also like to see this area permanently protected.
Yeah, and I want to go back to the Desolation Canyon thing. You said in 2012, BLM identified up to 1,300 or locations for potential well sites, let's say. How close are we from identifying these locations and actually having drilling occur? What's the process there?
Well, we're very close. The project has been approved. My organization and others have challenged that project in federal court, and we're awaiting a decision from the court. But the drilling could proceed at any time, and what's needed is another administrative step by the Bureau of Land Management for the energy company to go ahead and proceed. But the Bureau of Land Management does have flexibility to say, hey, we've approved this project, but we think that some of the proposed well sites are inappropriate. And the Bureau of Land Management could call back the development of certain sites that are too close to the river or would impact the Desolation Canyon region itself. So that's what we're asking the agency to do.
You mentioned, floating the Green River through the Desolation Canyon area is really popular. Are some of these sites visible from the river?
Well, that's what we're urging the BLM to do, is to make sure that doesn't take place. And whether the sites are visible or whether rafters can see or hear the trucks or the well development, or just be affected by the sound or the haze that comes from local development, we don't want any of those impacts to occur. And the BLM has the discretion to make sure that it doesn't occur. And, again, the Green River and the Desolation Canyon is a nationally recognized resource, and I think all Utahns would want to keep it that way.
So what other – these are the two areas you highlight, right? It says you literally call it too wild to drill, but that doesn't mean that there's other areas around the state of Utah, perhaps even up in this area, that are also at risk, correct?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's development proposals across the state of Utah. And we've done our best working with other organizations to make sure that the land, that the wildest lands in the state are off limits to development and remain that way. And we want to make sure that land in the Standard Fell Swell and the Desolation Canyon and rock country around Moab and Dinosaur National Monument remain wild and available for people to enjoy without having their experience marred by drill pads and oil trucks.
A couple of years ago, we spoke with the Sierra Club about a sort of proposal or a push for a national monument outside of Canyonlands that was being called Greater Canyonlands National Monument at the time. Is a national monument a possibility for either of these locations?
Well, one of the things that the tribes working on the Bears Ears region is advocating for is permanent protection through a national monument. And we support the tribe's effort to secure permanent protection for that region. Many of your listeners probably know that Congressman Bishop and Congressman Chaffetz have started an effort to develop public land legislation in Utah that will look at some of these very landscapes, including some of the lands covered by the Bears Ears. And my organization and others have participated in that effort and are urging Utah's congressional representatives to provide permanent protection for the Bears Ears National Monument. And that's a proposal that's still being discussed now and will likely be unveiled publicly in the next few months. But our, you know, our position is that by whatever means, whether it's a national monument or legislation, we believe that these lands deserve and warrant permanent protection, and we'd like to see them permanently protected for everyone to enjoy.
Right.
So let's talk about some of the locations in your report that are outside of Utah. What else made the list?
Well, I think the most prominent one that almost everyone has heard of would be the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And, of course, this is, you know, like the Red Rock Country of Utah, it's another American icon that, while many people don't go to visit it due to its remote location, I think a lot of us are happy that it's there. It has an incredible array of habitat, the largest caribou herd in the world, over 120,000 animals, and it's just one of the most wild and remote pieces of land anywhere in the world. And there have been efforts, I mean, the battle to save the Arctic has gone on for decades now, and there have been efforts to develop oil and gas resources within the Arctic for the past 30-plus years. And this is another place that we identify as saying this place is simply too wild to drill. It should just remain as it stands as a monument to America's wonderful natural resources forever.
Well, one irony, Paul, is that as long as oil remains below $50 a barrel, there will be very little efforts by the oil companies to want to drill up in Anwar, because that's just below their profit, their break-even point for drilling up there. But the point is that oil won't remain
right
below $50. It'll get above to the point where they will want to drill up there. And they're actually,
right,
you know, the president's up in Alaska, which is great, and he's talking about climate change and kind of highlighting the consequences that are showing up with respect to climate change. But at the same time, just a month or two ago, he signed off on allowing Shell. Oh, I'm trying to find here, Royal Dutch Shell, to do some exploratory drilling up in, I believe, the Chukchi Sea in the area. So I'm not quite sure what side of the story he's on. But the oil companies, fossil fuel industries, have real interest. Obviously, we focused on Utah and that what's at risk here. But on a global level, too, there's lots of areas that are too wild to drill and explore for fossil fuels.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And I think you make a really good point that, you know, some people say, look, there's no push to develop some of these places now. Oil is so inexpensive and natural gas is going down. So, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. And, you know, our response is that these threats always will remain present. And, you know, we don't want America's most scenic land to be subject to the international price of oil. These threats come and go, and the next time oil prices spike, we'll see a big push, you know, another big push to develop the Arctic and some of these scenic lands in Utah. So, you know, the only real solution here to ensure that these lands remain the way they are forever is to secure their permanent protection, either through legislation or through some sort of administrative action. And
right.
That's the only way that people will know that these lands will be there for them and their kids to enjoy.
Right.
If our listeners are interested in getting involved or taking action, where would you direct them?
Well, you can go to our website at wilderness.org, and that has all kinds of information about the report, about the areas we've highlighted in the report, both in Utah and beyond, and gives plenty of tips for how to get engaged and who to write letters to and other steps that people can take to help ensure that these lands are there forever.
And it looks like there's also a petition to sign?
There is, uh-huh.
Fantastic. Well, Paul, with that, we have to wrap up today. Paul Spittler, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Paul is the Director of Wilderness Campaigns for the Wilderness Society.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks so much for having me.